Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it is good to be here tonight. I am so thankful we were able to make it here tonight. You know, it felt so strange to not have church on Sunday. And frankly, when I miss a service like that, I get a little cranky. So I'm thankful to be here tonight. And, you know, people right now, they're talking about how cold it is outside. And you know what? It is cold out there, but it's nice and warm in here. So praise the Lord for that. I remember there were numerous occasions when I was a kid when this building, it would get very cold because the furnace would stop working suddenly. And praise the Lord, that hasn't happened in a good long time. So I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for this warm building, and I'm thankful for this opportunity to worship the Lord. So we're going to do that very thing after we open with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this evening, thanking thee for thy goodness, thanking thee for thy mercy, praying, O God, that thou would be here tonight with us. I pray that thy Spirit would be here upon each and every one of us. Fill us all with thy Holy Ghost. Let us feel thy presence, O God, as we reach out to thee, as we worship thee, O God. For we know that thou art our God, our almighty Savior, and that thou art worthy of every praise, every worship that we can give thee. And I pray, Lord, that everything we do here tonight would be done according to thy perfect will and thy perfect plan. And I pray, O God, that thou wouldst preside over this entire service. I ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to start with number 143 in the chorus book here tonight. We have come into this house, number 143. We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship.
Worship Him, Jesus Christ.
stand complete in Him and worship Him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him. So forget about yourself, concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself, concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself, concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. So lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Him. So lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Him. So lift up holy hands. Magnify His name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the to God. Oh yes, we have come here to worship the Lord tonight, and we need the Lord to make us what we ought to be. So why don't we go to number 47 in the chorus book right now. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Number 47. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. Lord, make me what I be. Help me to be more like Thee. Make me come up higher till Thy face I see. Make me what I ought to be. The Lord. Oh yes, wonderful things happen when you submit yourself to the Lord, when you ask the Lord to make you what you ought to be, because He's the only one who can do it. And you know, He perfects us when we wait upon the Lord. Why don't we go to number 48, right below 40, right above, yeah, right below 47 there, and sing They That Wait Upon the Lord, number 48. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord. Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord. Shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord. Let's reach out and touch the Lord here tonight. Let's go to number 76 in the chorus book. Reach out and touch the Lord, number 76.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes. Touch the Lord as He passes.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, we live in a dangerous world, and sometimes people wonder, well, where do I turn? Turn to the Lord, because the name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. Let's go to number 90 and sing that chorus. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. Number 90.
The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a mighty strong tower. The name of the Lord is a refuge for my soul. The name of the Lord is a bulwark I can lean on. The righteous run into the name of the
God. Praise the Lord. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Praise God. Father in heaven, we thank thee this night for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank thee, O God, that thou hast given us a way to come here and be here, a place to worship thee. We thank thee, O God, for all that thou hast done, for thy goodness, for thy graciousness, for thy mercy. For we know, O God, that we can only be here by thy mercy and thy grace, because thou art our helper. And I pray, Lord, that thou would continue to lead, to guide, to direct us. Direct our steps along the way, O God, each and everything we do. We pray that all we do would be done according to thy perfect will, so that we may serve thee to the very best of our ability. And I ask, O God, that thou hast given us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used for thy purpose and for thy glory. And I pray, O God, that thou hast blessed the givers here tonight, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to sing one more song. And, you know, we've been having a lot of storms and snowstorms and winter advisories and wind chill advisories. But, you know, we have a Savior who takes us through these storms of life, both spiritual and physical. And there's a song that just has been on my mind all night here tonight, and we're going to sing it. It's number 237 in the hymnal, I've Anchored in Jesus, number 237. Thank you. this boundless ocean where mighty billows roll. I've fixed my hope in Jesus, blessed anchor of my soul. When trials fierce assail me and storms are gathering o'er, I rest upon His mercy and trust Him more. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I'm anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I'm anchored in Jesus, for He hath power to save. I'm anchored to the rock of ages. He keeps my soul from evil and gives me blessed peace. His voice has stilled the waters and bid their tumult cease. My pilot and deliverer, to Him I all confide. For always when I need Him, He's at my side. I'm anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I'm anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I'm anchored in Jesus, for He hath power to save. I'm anchored to the rock of ages. He is my friend and Savior, in Him my anchor's cast. He drives away my sorrows and shields me from the past. By faith I'm looking upward beyond life's troubled sea. There I behold a haven prepared for me. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for He hath power to save. I've anchored to the rock of ages. I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or wave. I've anchored in Jesus, for He hath power to save. I've anchored to the rock of ages. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Oh, yes. We anchor our lives in Him. Praise the Lord. Well, I just want to mention one last thing before we turn it over to Shirley. We should be praying real hard this week because they're saying more snow's coming, and I don't want to get snowed out again on Sunday. So let's pray about that and believe that the Lord will help us to get here on Sunday. Praise the Lord. And with that in mind, we will turn it over to Shirley. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. God is good. And, you know, we were blessed with a nice long fall and some really pleasant days. But we're really into winter right now. And so I hope you can bear with us if you're online and realize, oh boy, we're not exactly going through the easiest right now in regards to the weather. But if you would pray with us that we could meet on Sunday, and we made it here tonight, at least a few of us did, and you know, thank God. does take care of our needs, and that's for sure. We are blessed. Amen. Let's just pray as we go before the Lord here tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, just thank you again that we have this opportunity, this privilege, God. Oh, God, these moments that you've given us here, Lord. Oh, God, we just never know, Lord, what could happen next down the road of life. And oh, God, we know that one day soon thou will come, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, that will come together, thy people together, Lord. Oh, God, and to judge this world in righteousness. God, I pray, oh Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, as, oh God, we draw nigh to you tonight, Lord, as we reach out to you, Lord. I pray, oh God, that you'd talk to our hearts. Oh God, that you'd help us, Lord. Oh God, in our need, our great need, Lord. Oh God, to be like you, Jesus. To have strength, oh Lord. Oh God. Oh God, to know thee, Lord, as our Savior, as our God, as thy guide. Oh Lord, we need you, Lord. And I pray, oh Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts. Pray that you give us what we have need of, O Lord. O God, I pray, O Lord, O God, that your word would come forth, O Lord, to meet our needs, O Lord, to speak to us as individuals, Lord. O God, for we need you. We couldn't do this without you, Lord. O God, and we just thank you, Lord, for you've opened up our eyes that we might see and given us understanding, Lord. I pray that you would talk to the hearts tonight, Lord. Oh, God, if there be somebody out there that needs to find you, Lord, I pray, oh, God, that, oh, Lord, your Spirit would reach out, oh, God, to draw them, Lord. The Holy Ghost would draw them, Lord. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. Oh, God, you know who they are, Lord, and I pray that you'd bring them unto yourself. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we just give this all to you, Lord. We ask, oh, Lord, for thy help. We ask that you would, oh, God, be here to meet the needs, oh, God. And oh, God, if you could grant us, oh, Lord, decent weather on Sunday so that we might travel here, Lord. Oh, God, that we might gather if Lord, thy coming has not come yet. Oh, Lord, help us, Lord. Help us to be ever mindful of thy coming, Lord. Oh, Lord, of the times in our head, oh, Lord, that we would draw nigh to you in Jesus' name. Oh, help us, Lord. Bind every spirit that's contrary, Lord. Give us words of life in Jesus' precious name. By the power of the blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to John, the 16th chapter. Initially, read a verse. There, Jesus, there as he was preparing for Gethsemane, really, on the way. Oh, my. Had words of life that he shared with those that followed him. How wonderful it was. It must have been wonderful to be with the Lord in person. But I thank God he's given us opportunities to reach out to him and touch his garment. Even tonight, by faith, he's here. He's here in this place. We don't see him with our eyes, but we can feel him with our spirits. Oh, yes, when we draw nigh to him and yield our hearts to him. John 16. And of course, this kind of completes the discourse that he had begun there. And as he was on his way to the garden to pray. But verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Oh, praise the Lord. What words of comfort. You know, I can't really say that this life down here is a cakewalk. You know, it's not that everything goes smooth all the time. There's a lot of bumps in the road. There's a lot of turmoils. There's upsets. You know, things don't go often the way we would want them to go if we could choose. But the Lord is with us, and he is encouraging us here. In this verse here, he had said many words of life. He's speaking of how he was going to come and comfort them and send the comforter, you know, because they didn't exactly love to hear that he was going to be leaving, and all the things that were pressing upon him at that moment. But yet he could say, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Oh, that's very dear. In 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter, verse 12, just to gather a verse here also. Just one short verse, verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And now let's go to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. And I'm going to take most of my message from this chapter, as I see it anyway, Lord willing. We're going to call the message the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. Praise the Lord. That He is. He is that comforter that's come to dwell in our hearts. Praise the Lord. Verse 1 here, 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, a brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I'm going to stop and pause here. Of course, those first two verses are his address. This is his second book to the Corinthians. And you know, that first epistle was not the easiest epistle that he ever wrote, I'm sure. He had a lot of things that he had to correct there in the church of Corinth. There were some overwhelming things, and we read of those in that first epistle. I'll tell you what, I'm glad for it, though, because there's a lot of instructions in that first epistle, and it guides us, too. And there's stuff we need to know, stuff that's not necessarily in any other scripture that I can think of at the moment. So I'm really glad for it, though. I'm sorry that they had to suffer such things in the church at Corinth, but praise the Lord. I believe the Lord helped them mightily. I believe things began to change after that epistle was delivered to them. So here, Paul is greeting them, and also Timothy, I believe, is with him at the moment, so he's also included there. Of course, he's telling them, grace be with you and peace from God, our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he begins to say, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, for the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. I really like that. You know, we don't always understand what we're going through here on this earth. And there's moments when it's very confusing and perplexing, and there's a lot of wonder. We certainly don't understand always. But I know one thing, the things that we go through, when we make it through it, we can help somebody else because of that. It works that way, that we're able to comfort others because we've gone through certain things ourselves. And I believe that's what he's trying to say here in that fourth verse. I think that's pretty wonderful. There's a reason for the things that we endure here in this life. Again, a lot of times it's a puzzle. We don't understand it. We're confused perhaps. And you know, it's not always easy, often not at all. In fact, if we go to Romans, the fifth chapter, we read what Paul wrote in that book about tribulation. He says in verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Oh yes, our hope is in his glory, the things that he has. Oh yes, that he has prepared for them that love him. Verse 3 says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And I'll tell you what, again, it might seem strange as Paul is talking about glorying in tribulations, but he knows. We find out that the hard things that we endure make us stronger in the Lord, make us better people, and give us the ability to reach out and help others in a greater capacity. So there is a reason to glory in tribulation. And again, you know, there's end results of it. He talks of how tribulation worketh patience. Patience doesn't come easily. You just don't instantly have patience. But it comes through the things that we endure and standing fast and allowing the Lord to work through it all. And it talks about how patience worketh experience. And then from experience comes hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Oh, it's a wonderful flow chart there. And all those things contribute to making us the man or woman we need to be in the Lord Jesus. I thank God for it. You know, one of my favorite verses is actually 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, in verse 10, where it says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. See, again, it's, you know, Peter is writing here in this epistle, and you know, he knows that it's not going to come instant that we become the children of God that we need to be, that we become mature in the Lord, we reach that state of perfection. It's not going to come easily. But he said, after that you've suffered a while, after you've endured a few things, after, you know, you've made it through some of the trials of life, he says, make you perfect, make you mature, make you that in that place that God wants us to be as his children. He talks about being established, strengthened, and settled so that it's all clear in our mind and we have that hope and our, you know, our confidence is in God, and we're established in the truth and we're strengthened by our wonderful, gracious Savior, who gives us strength to stand against adversity, the troubles and trials of this world. So again, yeah, Paul was writing here to the church at Corinth. And again, you know, he talks about how we're comforted in our tribulation so that we can comfort them which are in trouble, any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. It all makes an impact. Those things change us. We allow the Lord to work in us. And then it says in verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Oh yes, there's an overflow, an abundance, an abounding. As our consolation, or another word for that is comfort, also overflows by Christ. Again, that suffering with him brings us closer to the Lord Jesus. I'd just like to take you to 2 Timothy here for a moment. the second chapter. Verse 11 here in 2 Timothy, the second chapter, verse 11 goes, "It is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself." I think that's some very wise words there. Oh yes, we need to give our lives to him. We're dead to this world and to ourself. But the promise there is, if we're dead with him, we shall also live with him. And then the 12th verse, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. But on the other hand, if we deny him, and I'll tell you what, there are points. That suffering may not be easy. It may not be easy to endure it, but we are in an endurance test. The need is to endure until the end. But sometimes people deny him in that process. When things get rough, the going gets rough, and all at once the boat is rocking, the waves are high, and all at once things are uncertain. There are times that people give in. But we must not. We must not. For certainly if we deny him, it states here, he also will deny us. And you know, no matter if a person believes or not, it doesn't change God. As that 13th verse goes, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. He's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to deny himself just because somebody doesn't believe. Somebody is a scorner. Somebody has all those doubts. Somebody is an atheist or an agnostic or any of those things. It doesn't matter, because God is true. As the Word of God says, let God be true and every man a liar. It doesn't matter what people think. It's what God declares. For his word is forever settled in heaven. It cannot be changed or altered, and we dare not even try. Praise the Lord. So verse 6 here in 2 Corinthians. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted is for your consolation and salvation. So it just seems that no matter what we're going through at the moment, if we're being afflicted, it's still, he writes, for your consolation, for your comfort and salvation. There's a reason for it. There's a meaning for it. And if we're being comforted, it's likewise. No matter what aspect we're going through at the moment, there's a reason for it. And he says, it's for your consolation and salvation. Then he writes in verse 7, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that ye are partakers of the sufferings. I'm sorry, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. See, it takes the two. We can't expect everything to be as smooth as silk, you know, from one moment to the next. We just can't expect that in our life. Again, as you know, the scripture we read earlier, all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And we know that Jesus suffered persecution. He went through a great deal for us. He was ridiculed. He was mocked. He was scorned. Oh yes, many people disbelieved him. Many people didn't accept him. He was rejected of his own people. And then finally even put to death by them. Oh, I'll tell you what, yes, he went through a great deal for us. But there's a promise here in verse 7 that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. It seems that the two go together. Amen. So let's also go to 2 Thessalonians here for a moment. Let's pause and go to 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. Here Paul is writing also, but he had a lot to say about suffering and all that. And these verses here, 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. We look at verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. See, it's an expected thing. And then he declares it in verse 5, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. See, I think, you know, some of these things the Lord is trying us to see how deep we are. If we've really given our lives to Him, if we really are going to endure, if we are ready to serve Him with all our heart, our mind, our soul, our strength, there's a price to be paid in this walk that we have with God. So he's saying here that persecution and tribulation, the things that the church of Thessalonica was going through, were actually a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God to be expected of what a Christian actually goes through. And then verse 6 says, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Oh yes, he is going to pay back. He's going to recompense tribulation to those that might trouble us at these moments here on earth. But he's telling there's a moment when it's all going to turn around. Oh yes, we're going to be recompensed for the trouble, for the trials, for the heartaches, for the persecution. All of that, we're going to be recompensed for it. And he's talking about that day when the Lord Jesus appears in the sky. Oh yes, oh, that trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh yes, that's our great hope. And he writes, therefore comfort, wherefore comfort one another with these words. There's a comfort in these, and here he's bringing it out in this second epistle to the Thessalonians too. God is coming back with vengeance. Oh, it's not like most people think at all. He's coming to judge. Oh yes, he's coming to gather his people together. That's true, but also in flaming fire, taking vengeance of them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it's going to be so important at that moment to be rooted and grounded and settled in the Lord. It's good to be so important to be established in the truth at that moment, because he's coming. Just as sure as we're here tonight, he's coming. And he's going to take vengeance on them that know not God and on them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, there's not a happy ending. we shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Oh, we don't want to be, oh, those goats on the left hand that are separated from our God. That terrible category of those that are going to be forever separated from the Lord. Oh, and cast into outer darkness with everlasting destruction, flaming fire, God taking vengeance when he comes to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Oh, praise the Lord. He's given us opportunity tonight to believe the good report, to believe the gospel, to believe the testimony that was established by our Lord Jesus Christ, the good news. Oh, yes, that he came to earth. Yes, he died, it was buried, but was raised again, and therefore has given us great hope in that resurrecting power and the gift of the Holy Ghost that he sent from heaven. Oh, yes, that we might be comforted, that we might be his children, that we might be sealed with that Spirit that he has reserved for his children. Praise the Lord. Then back here in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Oh yes, it sounds like they were being tried to the very max, going through great troubles, great trials, persecution, tribulation. Verse 9 says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. And I love it. In those moments of discouragement, of despair, of battles, whatever, all of trials and tests, when all at once there's a burst of faith that God gives us. Oh, yes, and all at once, oh, we realize, oh, yes, what's ahead of us and what God has prepared for us and hope that we have in Jesus. And I trust that we have in him, knowing that he could deliver us, that he could set us free, that he could keep us. And he knows how to help us in those moments of great distress and tribulation. And here, yes, Paul is telling them that, yes, they suffered horrendous things in Asia. They pressed, it says, out of measure. It was beyond what they could even comprehend, above strength, you know, above any physical strength or stamina. In fact, they thought it was all lie. It was all over. They despaired even of their lives. But it wasn't their time yet. Oh, yes, God was going to take them through those moments. And he was going to give them hope in spite of it. And what a wonderful thing it is. You know, Paul wrote in 2 Timothy, the third chapter again, somewhat summarizing some of his difficulties, and these might reflect some of the things that he was speaking of here in 2 Corinthians. But if we look at 2 Timothy, the third chapter, so he writes to Timothy in verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But listen to this, he says, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Out of them all the Lord delivered me. Isn't that beautiful? And he says in verse 12, that verse that we read earlier, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But God has a way. He could take us through such tests and such trials. And Paul went through horrendous things. But it says God delivered him. We turn for a moment to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. We get an even greater view of some of his sufferings, because he's listing here. We look at verse 21 here, the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians. Paul writes, "I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherein soever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are the Hebrews? So am I. Are the Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities." Oh yes, he went through a great deal, didn't he? Oh, as a human being, and he was human, he felt those hurts just as any of us would. And, you know, it must have hurt so badly when you realized it was often his own countrymen that were abusing him and stoning him and beating him and rejecting him, spitting on him and all of that. Often his own countrymen. Oh, I'll tell you what. Yes, the only thing that he could glory in was his own infirmities, he says here. But he had all that weight that came upon him and all those troubles that he went through. And, oh, all those things. Oh, yes, they were placed upon him. But Paul never gave up. Paul never stopped. You know, he kept on running the race that was set before him. He kept on working for the end. Till finally, let me read in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, he could say in verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing. He realized at that point it was soon going to be over as far as his endurance race was concerned. But he could say, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Oh, praise the Lord. And henceforth he knew that there was a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, had reserved for him. And not for him only, but for all them that love his appearing. Yes, those that endure hardship as a good soldier, as he also wrote at one other point. Yes, praise the Lord. So he's speaking of it here in 2 Corinthians. Such a trial that, you know, they almost despaired even of life. But I believe God gave them something. Oh, I believe there were those bursts of faith. And I just love that. You know, I just sometimes, you know you're fighting a battle. And at such moments, I know what I cry out for. I cry out for faith. Because I know with faith we can fight those fiery darts that are aimed at us. Oh, yes, with faith we can endure it to the end. With faith we can have strength. With faith we can please the Lord. So God gave them that kind of endurance that they would know that they should not trust in themselves, but in God, which raiseth from the dead. Verse 10 says here, who delivereth us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Oh yes, he had already gone through so many things, but he could actually say that out of them all, the Lord delivered me. That's a wonderful testimony. He went through this, he went through that. And a lot of people would despair. A lot of people would run away. A lot of people would go hide. But he just kept on doing the things that God put in his heart. Reaching out to people. Telling the story. And never giving up. Knowing that his hope and his faith was in God. And knowing that God hath power to deliver from so great a death, and doth deliver. He continues to deliver. He had that faith in his heart, and so we need it here tonight, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Oh, we need that strength that comes in God. Yes, after we have suffered here a while, the Lord, make us perfect. Oh, yes, establish, strengthen, settle us. That we need in the Lord Jesus. We need that help from him. Oh, that continuance. And it doesn't come easy. But he is the God of all comfort. Oh, yes, who comes at those times of those times when we're weary, those times when we're worn out, those times we don't have any strength of ourselves. He comes to comfort us and to give us hope. To give us peace. Oh yes, in this world ye shall have tribulation. But he said, fear not, because I've overcome the world, and you can overcome the world too. And it's a wonderful thing to have that hope in the Lord Jesus. In verse 11 here, 2 Corinthians says, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Now I'll say, it's a wonderful thing that we can pray one for another. And you know, isn't it something, you'll be going through your day and all at once, you know, maybe somebody you haven't thought of for 2 years comes to mind, and you realize there's a need, there's something going on, and you begin to pray for that person. And I believe these people at Corinth were people of prayer. And Paul realized, oh yes, that there were prayers that went up. You know, I know I've heard of people in very stressed situations, very difficult seasons in their lives and crying out, and perhaps you've been there too, where you just say, Lord, please put me on somebody's heart. Please, Lord, let somebody be praying for me. All those prayers, oh yes, we are told in the book of James that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh yes, there's much strength in prayer. We don't always know why it's on our heart, but we have that opportunity to make intercession. Oh yes, to cry out on the behalf of others, those that need salvation, those that need help, those that need strength, however the Lord would direct it. And here, he's mentioning it here in that 11th verse. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Oh, we just don't know how the Lord uses prayer, those opportunities that we have here on earth to cry out, to go before that throne of grace. Oh, yes, I just marvel again and again how patient and how long-suffering our Savior is, and how he continues to invite us to come before him, that wonderful throne of grace where we can find mercy and help in the time of need. Oh, what a wonderful gift that is. And we also have that privilege to cry out for other people. We can be an intercessor. We could do the work of a priest, of an intercessor. A priest is the intercessor, a go-between that does the work in behalf of somebody else. And that's what prayer, when it's intercessory prayer, it goes beyond us. Oh yes, God gathers those prayers. Oh yes, they all gather together. And it makes a tremendous difference. The Lord uses prayer. You know, he could do marvelous things without prayer, but somehow he's given us that wonderful ability and opportunity to pray for other people so we can be partakers somehow in whatever all is going on in their lives. You know, it's not always the person who's going out and doing the things. There's people that stand behind with their offerings, with their gifts, with their prayers, with their encouragement, who also are playing a very significant role. Because, you know, surely Paul, at that time, he's speaking of that trouble. He needed encouragement. He needed prayer. He needed strengthening. He had that human flesh. And so do we. And there are times when, oh, how beautiful it is when somebody reaches God for us on our behalf, and cries out to God for our needs. It's a beautiful thing. And what a wonderful privilege. We could all be partakers. And verse 12 says, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you word. I think he's talking about not being put on, not making some kind of false pretense, not being a fake. All the things that I believe he wrote or declared, things he stated, I believe he could say them because he was saying them with his life. He was saying them by his actions. They weren't just words to be said, you know, to impress somebody. No, they were words that were lived by a life that was an example, a life that had been given to God. And so it wasn't fakey. Oh, no, it wasn't put on. But he could do it in simplicity and godly sincerity. It wasn't with fleshly wisdom, you know, like an orator, you know, just saying words to sound flowery and, you know, to give a certain kind of impression. But it says, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world. Oh, by his grace, our conduct, our life, our living, by the grace of God. And more abundantly to you word, you know, a life that's lived in Christ speaks volumes. Oh, we, our epistles, seen and read of all men, they can tell, you know, if it's a fakey thing or if it's something we do from the heart, because God has worked in us, God has changed us, God has intervened in our life, and therefore we can make an impact in this world. Oh, and by the grace of God, his glory can be seen even on our countenance. Oh, praise the Lord. I believe Paul because he was genuine, because he had a real experience with the Lord, and he lived that kind of life. Oh, yes, he had an impact on the world. And there were many that came to the Lord Jesus because of that simplicity and godly sincerity that he showed forth. Verse 13 says, "For we write none other things unto you but that what ye read or acknowledge. And I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end." He was telling them things that were true. They weren't made up fairy tales or some kind of story. They were things that he was writing from experience, from his walk with the Lord, his brothers and sisters in Christ. "As also you have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours the day of the Lord Jesus." Oh, it works both ways. You know, there's rejoicing on both ends. Those that, you know, you have been had come to the Lord through the ministry, that's our rejoicing. But then there's rejoicing on that part too, because they know the Lord, and because he's made that difference in the lives. It works both ways. And how much it will mean in the day of the Lord. Oh, yes, we stand before the Lord, before the judgment seat of Christ, to give an account of things done in our life. Oh, it will be so important that we have lived our life in Christ and been genuine, sincere, honest Christians, doing the will of our Father, which is in heaven. So it says in verse 15, "And in this confidence I was minded to come unto you before, that you might have a second benefit, and to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. When I therefore was thus minded," did I use lightness of the things that I purpose? "Do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay?" Oh, it's going to come out. You know, you just can't say things just to, you know, be agreeable. Just, you know, surface things. I don't think he wanted to be like that at all. Just a surface Christian who, you know, has a phony smile and, you know, phony handshake, and, you know, just uses lightness and nothing deep, you know, just don't get too deep, you know, because it might offend somebody. Well, no, Paul told them the things that they needed to know for their own spiritual benefit. And believe me, I know it wasn't easy always. Oh, yes, he had to correct them largely in that first epistle of to the Corinthian people. And it couldn't have been easy for him at all to have done that. And you know, sometimes, you know, he'd probably just like to take it easy and, you know, just use lightness perhaps. Just be agreeable, you know, just smile and, you know, listen and, you know, not say too much. Just, you know, shake your head in agreement and all that. But oh my, there's a deepness to our walk with the Lord. And there's a need often to declare the things that are written in the book of life. Paul was like that. He said in verse 18, "But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay." He wasn't wishy-washy. It wasn't one way one moment and another way the next. And he says in verse 19, "For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me, and Silvanus, and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea." He writes in verse 20, "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." Oh, God's word, God's promises, they are absolute. They are unchanging. They are sure. Oh, his promises are sure if we can only but believe. Oh, yes. In Hebrews, the 6th chapter, Paul had a bit more to say in this regard. You can just go there a minute. Hebrews 6. We look at Abraham. It says in verse 13 here, Hebrews 6. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. I'll tell you what, I don't think it was just too easy for Abraham. God asked him some pretty big things, I'll tell you. It wasn't easy for him to leave his countrymen, his origins, his, you know, his background and all of that. Get up and go where he knew not, step by step, to a new land that God promised to give him. But obviously Abraham had faith. Oh, he had faith. You know, even when God asked him to sacrifice his only son, Abraham had faith that even if he had to do such a thing, that God would raise him up again. Oh, there was some strength in Abraham. He believed in the promises of God. You know, it wasn't easy for him to be told at age 100 that he was yet going to have a child. His wife, Sarah, was going to bear a child, and here she was 90. But there was something deep in Abraham. Oh, yes, and God, because of his faithfulness, made promises to Abraham. Wonderful promises, as it says in verse 14, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee. Multiplying, I will multiply thee. Oh, yes, children as the sand of the sea, as the stars of heaven. Oh, wonderful promises, and we too are children of Abraham if we're in Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ came from Abraham, and so are we the seed of Jesus. That's a wonderful thing. We are his sons and daughters if we've been born again into the family of God. Praise the Lord. So it tells us, verse 15 here in Hebrews 6. So after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. It was common back then in the Old Testament to swear. And they would swear by, you know, their ancestors or the family yet to come. But God, there was no greater than he. He could swear by no other one. There was none greater than God. So he swore by himself. And it tells us here, verse 17, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. He wanted them to know that the promises that he had given them were yea and amen, that they would come to pass, that they were sure, that they were absolute, that they were unchanging. So God, he swore by himself. Verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Oh yes, Jesus entered it first, so that we could follow, so that we could enter in at the door too and find that place of refuge, that place of strength, that place of hope. Oh, yes, we could lay hold upon the words of eternal life. Oh, yes, those words that will not change. And again, oh, yes, he wanted them to know, oh, the immutability of his counsel. It's impossible for me to lie. What I've declared is going to happen. And we know one thing. Oh, Jesus told them before he ascended, or I should say the angel told them after he had descended into heaven, this same Jesus that you have seen taken into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Oh, yes, there's a promise of God. That same Jesus that ascended into heaven is one day going to come back. He's going to come back. The shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. Oh, yes. And we know that every eye is going to see him. Yes. They also which pierced him. And all, they're going to wail because of him. And so, amen. But there's a promise. And we wait for that promise. Oh, that anchor of the soul, that hope that we have in the Lord Jesus, knowing that one day he's going to come back. All those promises that he left us. Oh, yes, and he's not going to leave us comfortless, but he would come unto us. The wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost that he promised to those that believe, that we could come to him, we could draw nigh to him, and he'd fill us with his Spirit. He'd come into our lives and change us. Oh, what a wonderful hope we have in the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. It tells us in 2 Corinthians, this first chapter, verse 20 again, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. And it says, now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Oh, yes, that's the gift of the Holy Ghost, that seal that he's put upon us. And it's the earnest of the Spirit. It's a down payment, as it tells us also in the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Oh yes, he told them before he ascended to go to Jerusalem and tarry, wait for that promise that he had given them. The Holy Ghost was going to ascend upon them not many days hence. Oh, yes, and they were going to be filled with His Spirit, yes, the Spirit of truth, the Comforter. He was going to come to them. Oh, yes, He would be gone in person, but He was going to come to them and dwell in them, to lead, to guide, to direct, to show them things to come. Oh, yes, to give them, oh, yes, that wonderful Spirit of resurrection. Oh, that resurrecting power, that enablement. Oh, yes, that power to be witnesses. Oh, praise the Lord. And it tells us in Ephesians again, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise after that ye believed. And then it explains in verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Oh, yes, that Holy Ghost, that's the earnest of our inheritance. It's a down payment. If he left an earnest, he left that kind of hope with us. It means that he's going to come back. He's going to come back for that earnest. And praise the Lord, it means that we've been purchased. And we have that promise that he's going to come back. He's going to redeem us. We're that purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And what a wonderful gift it is. Oh, yes, as it tells us again here in 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, verse 22, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. And then he writes, "Moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. Not for that we have dominion over your faith, but we are helpers of your joy. For by faith you stand." Oh, he hadn't yet come to them. He perhaps didn't know if they're quite ready for that yet. But he didn't want to come just to be a lord over God's heritage, to show them dominion. But he wanted to come to benefit them. Oh, yes. He wanted to be helpers of their joy, to give them something that would strengthen their faith and settle them and put them on the right track so that they would fail, so they wouldn't fall, so that they would have strength that comes in our Lord Jesus Christ. So he gave them great hope. Oh, yes, the wonderful promises of God that are yea and amen. Wonderful things that he does for his people. That wonderful hope he gives us. That wonderful comfort that he sends us. Oh, yes, we have a great consolation in our Lord Jesus Christ. We have great hope in him. He did everything he needed to do to redeem us, to buy us back, to give us hope in this world. Oh yes, we were all out there. We were all wanderers. We were all foreigners at one point. We were aliens from the God covenant. But our Lord made a way for us. Made a way to give us hope. Oh yes, so that one day we can stand before the Lord and hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of my Lord." Oh, yes. Yes, you've been faithful over a few things. And I'm going to make you ruler over many things. Oh, that's our God who gives abundantly. It's more than we could ask or think. And what a wonderful thing that we can come to him. Oh, yes. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who has comforted us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Oh, praise the Lord. There's a reason for these things that we endure here on this earth. But you know, there's a prize that is set before us. It's a prize that we're looking for. We're to endure this race that God has put before us. We could just run this race with patience. We're one day soon, and you know the sound of the trumpet, it's imminent. He's coming soon. We don't know the day or the hour, but we can see the signs. You know, we know that we're living in troublous times. We know, yes, there are many perils upon us. We're in that time when many do not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, just wanting to hear something that sounds good. No, Paul wasn't like that. Oh, no, the things that he had to tell them at Corinth were not very easy. Yes, they had been taken in a sin. There was one among them that he found was deeply rooted in fornication, and he had his own father's wife, and Paul had to reprove him because of that. He had to reprove them because they seemed to be carnal. Envying and strife seemed to be a part of their makeup there in that first epistle to the church of Corinth. There were divisions among them. And, oh, some were saying, "I am a Paul." And another would say, "I'm of Apollo." And, oh, it was ridiculous. But it was just carnality. There wasn't the deepness that there needed to be. There wasn't that strength. And he had to correct a whole lot of things. He knew that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. He had to tell them, yes, it's not proper for you to have company with fornicators. And if there's any man that's a brother, that's called a brother, they need to depart from such things. They can't be participants in such activities. He said, fornicators, covetous, idolaters, railers, drunkards, extortioners shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, yes, there's things that we don't do. And I tell you, no, Paul didn't have it real easy. But there was something within him. He wanted to see these people stand before the Lord and be able to give it a good an account. Oh, yes, he wanted to be helpers of their joy, for he knew by faith they would stand. And if he could just give them that hope, if he could just give them the correction that was needed so that one day they could stand before God and give it an account before the Almighty One, that there could be rejoicing, oh yes, on their part and on his part, because that fruit that he had bore there at the Church of Corinth was fruitful. They had grown. They had obeyed. They had stood the test. They were true. They were faithful. So there would be rejoicing. Praise the Lord. Yes, and he wanted them to be comforted. And so it is. Oh, God knows how to take us through all the hard things in this life. He knows how to deliver us, and he knows how to give us hope, even in the middle of the storms of this life, even when the waves are raging and it might seem like it's hopeless, even maybe a despair of life. But thank God he puts faith in our heart, that we don't trust in ourselves. We don't look at the circumstances and think that's how it is. For there's one greater than that. There's one mightier than that. And that's our God, who knows how to succor us, how to help us, how to give us peace, how to give us comfort, how to establish us in the truth. Thank the Lord. Oh yes, that's what Paul was all about. He wanted that church to prosper in the ways of the Lord Jesus. And so it is. If we could just be that kind of Christian here in this life that we live down here, we're all going to stand before God and give an account one day. And it's most likely much sooner than most people think. Suddenly he's going to come and it's going to be over. We're going to be standing before him. Praise the Lord. Let's go to God in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for these words of life. We thank you for what you've done in our hearts. Oh, God, the changes. Oh, God, that you've brought upon us, Lord. The fact that you called us even, oh, Lord, that, oh, Lord, we could be heirs of thy promises, Lord. Oh, God, that someday we could stand before you and hear you say, well done, Lord. I pray that you talk to our hearts, God. Oh, Lord, wonderful God of mercies and the God of all comforts. I pray, oh, Lord, that you talk to our hearts, Lord. And I pray, oh, Lord, that you move in our lives, that you change us, that you mold us, that you shape us. Oh, God, that you help us to be, oh, Lord, that man, that woman, that boy, that girl. Oh, Lord, that we need to be in thee, Lord Jesus. Give us strength from you, Lord, that strength that comes from you, that hope that comes from you, Lord. And oh God, I just pray that you'd be our comfort in all these situations of life, all these troubles in this world. Oh Lord, all the hard things, all the confusion, Lord, give us much comfort and hope. We thank you in the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Oh God, give us that strength to stand in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So Second Corinthians, the first chapter. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Well, in closing tonight, we're going to go to number 293 in the hymnal, Take the Name of Jesus With You, number 293. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name. Praise.